Extend runway 4-2, package 2, contract number 12-07.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The item on the agenda is change order number 1 and substantial completion for extend the runway 422, contract number 12-07, constructed by George and Lynch Incorporated. Change order 1 adjusts most of the contract items to final quantities. There are some electrical items and some utility relocation allowances that will be on the next change order. In the change order packet you had, there was basically also 3 new items in the change order that we added to the contract. After the profile milling, we needed to install some fabric on the joints and cracks because they were opening, and that also will retard the reflective cracking in the overlay and extend the life of the hot mix in the pavement. Again, this was not evident during design phases. We didn't see how the cracks opened up under the pavement until after we milled it. Another item was we added a new concrete encased PVC duct to replace a portion of the existing duct bank we had in the bid, and it actually ended up with slight credit overall. Then the other thing we added was a bore and 2 manholes because the result of a discovery in during construction of an electrical issue affecting the airport lighting system. We talked to FAA and they said that, yeah, they would add this additional work and participate in it. It's starting with the maintenance and repair of some of the electrical needed items, and they were willing to help us out to put it into the grant. The contract was awarded for $4,457,947, and this change order reduces that amount by $38,020.37 to a revised contract total of $4,419,926.63. And like I say, there will be at least one more change order, but we look to that to reduce the contract total some more.
Okay. Very good.
The project we started it on April 7th, 2014, and it was substantially completed on August 15th, 2014. A time extension of 31 calendar days is included in this change order. And there were some last-minute modifications to the airport lighting controls and communication systems that were performed, which required some additional time to obtain the necessary materials and install them. The other thing is our consultants, Urban, consultant engineers, construction phase services costs, we're not completely closed out at this point, are within the approved budget amount of the $305,000 that was their budget amount to do the construction administration on this. Then as a side note, I understand that George and Lynch has been selected to receive a Delaware Contractors Association award, a construction excellence award for this project, which on the contracting side for many a year, they're not easy to come by. And I was happy with the job. So they got number 1 award, the Bob Jones
there
award.
You go.
Now they got the second award.
Now they got a second place award, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Any questions, Mr. Jones?
No.
You have a motion, sir?
Yes, sir. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number 1 for Sussex County contract number 12-07, extend runway 422, package 2 with George and Lynch Incorporated, be approved, which decreases the contract by the amount of $38,020.37 for a new contract total of $4,419,926.63. Be it further moved, the contract time be increased by 31 calendar days and substantial completion be granted effective August 15, 2014. And that final payment be made and any withheld retainage be released in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract documents, all subject to the approval of DLDOT and or the Federal Aviation Administration.
Entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second,
Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion?
Just
one. Mr. Phillips.
On item 24, the utility revisions by Delaware Co-op, $50,000. Is that just a pass-through, or is that
Negotiated
amount?
We didn't know the exact amounts of the utility relocates, so we put allowances in there. And it happened to be that we put $50,000 in because we couldn't even get a budget number out of them. And it ended up that we had to apply for it ourselves in-house because we were going to be the owner and get the bills. So that's line item zeroed out as an allowance. We picked up the tab. Of course, it's still grant eligible.
Sure. Okay.
What was the tab?
About $5,000.
Okay.
And I realize that sounds like a bunch, but we didn't know what it was going to take because they needed to run the line. Plus, we had to add a transformer, primary transformer.
Okay.
Any more questions to council? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Good day.
Mm-hmm. Next is old business. Mr. Lank.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We have one item of old business this morning. Excuse me. Change of zone number 1742, the application of Seaside Communities RDC LLC. It's an application of Seaside Communities RDC LLC to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to an MR medium density residential district, residential plan community, for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 37.516 acres, more or less, land lying northeast corner of Route 24, John J. Williams Highway, and Tanglewood Drive, a private street providing access to Briarwood Estate Subdivision, and being identified on the tax rolls of the tax map ID, District 334, Map 18, Parcel 40. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on February 13th of 2014, and deferred action on March 27th of 2014, and again on April 10th of 2014, and rendered their decision on May 22nd of 2014. Council public hearing was held on March 18th of 2014. For the benefit of the time record, I did come before council last week and presented the commission's decision on this application. Presentation including the reading of the commission's findings of fact and conditions of approval. Council did last week defer action so that Mr. Phillips could listen to the audio in reference to condominium concerns. If there is any other information needed at this time, or if the council desires, I can read the recommendation again for consideration. I did read into the record the commission's recommendations, their findings of fact for with reasons and the conditions of approval.
Mr. Moore, there's no reason to read it back in record again, is there? It's already in there once, right? Okay. Okay. Mr. Phillips.
I guess the only question I had was the motion said it was a single family style condominium.
It's all.
I just never heard that term before, single family.
Condominium.
They are single family detached homes, and their condominium reference is a method of sales.
I would have
They're not creating any lot lines. It's one parcel with whatever number of units that are proposed to be considered on the application.
I would have thought the motion would have referenced single family detached, but
yeah, rather, it just made reference to the number of units. The number of units recommended by the commission was based on 81 units. Originally, it was in the presentation, just for the record again, that the applicant was requesting 115 units. I believe that's the right number. And it was stated, let me see if I can find my numbers here. Originally, the 37.5 acres, based on calculation, at the extreme maximum, would have allowed for 151 units.
Right.
Okay? The applicants applied for 115 at a density of 3.3 units per acre. And the commission, in its consideration and recommendation by Mr. Ross, was that the, since the adjoining subdivisions and RPCs are predominantly AR-oriented, that they be based on the density of the cluster ordinance, which would allow a total of 81 units rather than 115.
But they changed it to MR?
They're changing from AR1 to MR-RPC, which would have allowed 151, I believe. And the applicants proposed 115. And then the commission, considering the other area around it, since it's predominantly AR, was that it be given consideration for 81 units max.
I guess the question still begs, it did not seem as if the motion made by planning and zoning actually represented what this application was, in the sense that they were using a term I just never heard before, single family type condominium units, without any reference to a detached.
And that's not unusual.
We got a lot of those.
Large number of projects in the county that have come through the RPC.
No, I understand.
Have
that,
been single family.
I couldn't find the term in the.
No, it's really the condominium word. I don't believe in the zoning ordinance at all. It's a method of sale.
It's
a method of sale. It's a real estate.
It's actually a method of ownership. Mm-hmm. You own it as a condominium ownership. But in this case, they were proposing single-family dwellings with that form of ownership.
Detached.
Basically, it's designed as if it were in clusters. So you have a multiple number of single-family detached units.
Right.
In a cluster, and then
and
a 40-foot.
And I thought that should have been reflected in the 40
motion. 40-foot spacing between the next cluster of multiple number of mm-hmm. single-family homes again. It's a similar to placing a multifamily building, but they're separated by
right.
some footage in between.
And I'm familiar with it. It's just, it doesn't represent what was portrayed in the motion.
Condominiums, what I know about condominiums is more than one person, more than two, three, maybe as many as a dozen people or more can be in a condominium, the way I understand. Actually, you just buy that section of the condominium, you never really own it, but you do own it, in a sense.
The land remains in common with once it's all sold out with all the owners, and you own your unit.
Right.
Individual.
Here they own it, right? But in a real condominium, they don't own it. They don't really ever own it.
You own your unit.
Well, they own it, but you got to pay so much dues, and you don't really.
Originally, I mean, there are some condominiums that are actual two- or three-story buildings.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Or like an apartment building, but they actually own their unit.
Yeah.
But the building remains in common ownership. All those residents that live in the condominium building, and then the land is another common element that's owned by all the parties within the project.
I know my neighbor owns a condominium in Florida, and they got to use it that week, or they got to rent or do something with it, or they pay for it anyway.
That might be a timeshare.
Well, it's in a condominium, they own part of it.
Any more questions of council?
Right. Mr.
Robert Phillips.
Did you say you had something?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I know why they're doing it, because single family is more appealing, and so they get a condominium, which is also attractive to the developer, so they've combined the two to market it as have the appearance of a single family home development, mm-hmm. which is more desirable to the marketplace. That's all.
And it's a legal question for Mr. Moore. Is there any concern that we are approving a motion, a recommendation by planning and zoning that doesn't necessarily reference the detached nature of these units?
Well, I believe that it does indicate that it is the single family, which indicates that there are single family units. And, you know, although it's not quite the way I would normally see it, and I understand your concern and your question, because it's referring to 81 units when that's what they were allowed in AR1 to begin with. I believe that it is consistent, you know, from the standpoint, it is the single-family units, 81 single-family units.
Mr. Phillips?
I guess the other issue would be the density. Looking at the map that you gave us, I think you're right. Within 3/4 of a mile, what's that, a little over 4,000 feet, there are other AR1 subdivisions, what have you. But you don't have to go much farther before you start to get into higher densities.
You would have to, the closest higher density would be?
Higher from the 81, I'm saying.
Higher than 81 would be the Woods Cove project on Plantation Road, which is high density residential zone.
Correct.
And then the next one would be the Plantations East and West projects, which are at 4+ units per acre, probably. I didn't do that calculation, that part.
Right. It would seem at 81 units were much below what the MR zoning should afford, I mean, what it's designed for. But still, at 115, didn't you say they would have been afforded 150 or so at the MR?
The max, the calculation on presentation was that they could have 151 units on that 37+ acre parcel at the extreme max of MR zoning calculations.
Right. Seems like they were just trying to, you know, come in with an average in between the two.
They did. Basically, they did. They came in with 115 units in their application.
115, which I think is appropriate, and for the sake of making that point, I would move that we amend the density to the 115.
Okay. Way we've been
don't
doing
we have
it.
To go ahead, Mr.
Yes, Brown. Way we have been doing it, Mr. President, is reading the short title, and then if anyone wanted to make a motion to amend any of the conditions, may or. Reasons we would make the amendment then. So if you'd like, I'll read the short title, then if Mr. Phillips would
make
like
sure
to
make sure. Is there any more questions from council? Okay. Mr. Moore, if you read the short title, please.
An application of Seaside Communities RDC LLC to amend comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MRRPC medium density residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 37.516 acres, more or less, land lying northeast corner of Route 24, John J. Williams Highway, and Tanglewood Drive, a private street providing access to Briarwood Estates subdivision, tax map ID 3-34-18-40.
Mr. Phillips.
President, if appropriate at this point, I would like to make a motion to allow 115 units to be part of this application's approval.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson.
I got a question. Can we cut? Go ahead.
I was going to say, and the motion is to allow 115 single family homes, I guess it is, or the lots on this project.
I
question, Mr. Wilson.
Did I understand you said it was almost 4 to an acre in Plantation, those other areas?
It's in that general area. I don't have that calculator right in front of me, but the Woods so Cove project and Plantation are higher densities.
Okay,
than this
that's what I understand. All right, so if this is if that be true, then we're looking here probably a home. Three homes less than an acre. It'd be more than a, let's start all over. I got 3.43 acres, or homes per acre. So it's actually, it's way less than what's in the general area. Is that correct?
It would be less than three. It would be less than three units per acre.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So I
figured. At the 115.
If it's at 115, I didn't do that calculation. I'm looking at 81. I'm sorry.
That's it. I'm figuring it at 115.
No, you're right. Can I also make a suggestion on the motion that you're amending item number 9 or line item number A.
Yes.
And if you can, in your motion, you could, to clarify your previous question, the maximum number of single-family residential units, single-family detached residential units, would clarify your question.
That is an excellent point. Thank you, Mr. Lang.
But the number, whatever the number is.
But it seems like we're not being consistent here. And what we give one person down the road to right to build on a certain amount of land, and we come up here, we're not in the same amount. In other words, if the person down the road can bring here and build four houses, why can't this person build three houses for the same amount of land?
Well, it depends on how close they are.
Well, okay.
So just to be clarified, Mr. Moore, if you would read the motion as I understand Mr. Lang just suggested,
yes.
We change it to and see if Mr. Phillips accepts that.
Yes, the motion is to amend number 9A. The maximum number of single-family detached residential units shall not exceed 115.
And you suggested something else in the motion, I think.
No, that was it.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
I corrected it.
Okay.
The single
I just said number.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right. I just referenced a number. I didn't say okay. What number was right.
Any more questions on the motion? We're going to take the vote. This is a vote on the proposed change only.
On increasing the density.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Well, I can vote for that because it's actually nestled in between communities that are equivalent pretty much to the 81 home idea, and it's really kind of infill at 81 homes. And Mr. Ross, who is Mr. Vance Phillips' appointee, is the one who suggested the 81 homes on the Planning and Zoning Commission, and I have great respect for his judgment and Planning and Zoning's judgment. I do not know that the of any record of the developer being unhappy with the 81 homes, but no.
Cole.
I'll vote no also. I just think Planning and Zoning recognizes the problems that are in the Route 24 corridor. There's new schools and much other developments happening and occurring there right now, and the John Williams Highway is a has serious capacity problems, and again, P&Z recognizes that. Cap it at 81, which is appropriate and compatible with the surrounding subdivisions and developments, so I'll vote no.
Mr. Phillips.
When you look at the change of zone map that's been provided to us, we can see based on the legend that less than 1,000 feet, you have a general residential development. You have at least two within that 3,000 feet area of medium residential communities. When you start bringing schools out into an area, all land use, good land use planning says that that's where the density should be located to avoid traffic on other areas that may not have a collection of schools and police stations and things. So it seems like, you know, it's not often, but in this case, I do believe Planning and Zoning made a mistake, and it's our job as a final arbiter to fix mistakes, and I would vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Well, it seems that we're not consistent. And the main thing here is, say the one that owns the land owns 100 acres, and the other guy owns 100 acres, but the one that develops it first, he gets a bigger density. And the guy that waits to have it done later seems like he's a loser. That's the way it looks to me. So I don't think it's fair. If you're going to be fair to one property owner, you should be fair to the other property owner. Why shouldn't one have just much right as the other one? So I'll vote yes.
Your vote was yes, sir?
Yes.
Okay. I think I reviewed this thing last week, spent a lot of time reading it. I think I understand why Planning and Zoning did what they did. And although there are areas outside of here that have a heavier density, the ones right next door to it around it are the same density, I think. And I think P&Z did a lot of research, a lot of work on this, and I would agree with their findings. I'm going to vote no.
Can I make a motion now to
Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we'd
approve.
approve, where is it, CZ, I got the numbers up here.
CZ 1742.
I would suggest first that we read the short title with the conditions.
Okay, I thought we did, okay.
Sure.
We had read them without the conditions.
That's fine, that's fine. Mr. Moore?
Okay, an application of Seaside Communities RDC LLC to amend comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to MRRPC medium density residential planned community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 37.516 acres, more or less, land lying northeast corner of Route 24, John J. Williams Highway, and Tanglewood Drive, a private street providing access to Briarwood Estates subdivision, tax map ID 3-34-18-40, for reasons 1 through 9 given by planning and zoning, with the conditions 9A through M contained therein.
Mr. Cole?
I'll make the motion that we adopt CZ 1742. I support the motion made by Mr. Ross and the conditions that the commission stated and the finding of fact. So I would support planning and zoning's recommendations.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver. Questions on this motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes. Oh, and my reasons. Well, I studied it too. I studied what planning and zoning wrote and what they've recommended to us, and I'm very appreciative of all the work that they've devoted to it, and it really does seem like infill from what we heard in testimony. And so I would vote for their decision as far as their reasons and with the conditions that they have offered. And I'm glad that we are going to have conditions, because that is a way to help the way things get developed.
I thought so.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes, and I support the finding of facts by the Planning and Zoning Commission. I think they were right on their observations, and with the conditions, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips?
It strikes me as odd that Planning and Zoning would approve a change of zone to medium residential, but yet require that the density remain at the old level of an AR subdivision. I don't know if games are being played or if there's other motivations here. I mean, when you say that you have to respect what's around it, you have to wonder when those things were developed. Were they developed before the new school came? Because a new school is going to change the complexion of an area very fast, and it's going to cause a lot of growth in that area. And we're just going to end up paving over this entire county if we do not start increasing densities at least to a reasonable level. I mean, these are the kind of densities that you would find, you know, 10 miles out in the country. Unfortunately, I don't think under the circumstances I can support this. I'll vote no.
Wilson.
I'm going to vote no. For one reason is that I don't feel that the schools should make the, well, should I say, it doesn't make the density of the population. In other words, they've already cut it at least 25%. So why should they go? They're down to 3 houses, and any other place they could have 4. I don't understand why we're changing the density here. I don't think it's correct, and I think they're wrong in doing this.
Is that your due vote? No, sir.
Mine's was no.
Okay, thank you. I will agree with the reasons and the findings and conditions of planning and zoning, and I'll vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Jennings. Grants request.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I have 2 grants for your consideration. The first one is Greater Lewis Community Village. They're requesting $7,000 to further develop services and programs and determine which other Sussex County communities would benefit from their services. Greater Lewis Community Village is dedicated to enhancing the lives of senior residents. Last grant received was $5,000 from Ms. Deaver.
Mm-hmm. They have been asked by Bridgeville and I think it's one other town to approach and teach them what they're doing, and they're very interested in adopting a similar plan, and this group will help them. This is what they're talking about here. I would like to give them $1,000 at this time to help that outreach to the rest of the county.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mrs. Cole to grant.
Mrs. Cole?
Mrs. Cole.
Yeah. Mr. Cole.
Mrs. Cole.
I can too many misses in my mind here.
I'm adding.
Grant the Greater Lewis Community Village for further development senior services.
I've had enough.
Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll stop wearing a pink shirt.
The Greater Georgetown Chamber of Commerce is requesting $5,000 for their annual Wings and Wheels event held at the Sussex County Airport this weekend. There have been no council member grants for this event. The event did receive $1,500 in July from the county.
I'll match it.
$1,500?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Up.
Second.
Mr. Wilson. To grant $1,500, Mr. Wilson's Council Bank account, and $500, Mr. Phillips' Council Bank account, to the Greater Georgetown Chamber of Commerce for Wings and Wheels. Motion second by Mr. Cole.
Actually, this is to help promote the Georgetown Airport, and so that's for all councilmen could come under this.
Thank you.
Under this
for doing that.
Promotion here. Nope. If you'd like to, George, you could help.
We have a motion and a second.
Just give you a chance to get in, you and Mrs. Deaver.
We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I move yes. Motion carried. Proposed zoning ordinance introduction, Mr. Moore.
There are none, Mr. President.
We'll now move into executive session. Make a motion to go into executive session for job applicants' qualifications. Yes. Motion, Mr. Wilson?
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And Mr. President, I'd like to remind everyone, when we go in executive session, as soon as a motion is made, we are in executive session.
Correct.
So everyone, please go straight there.